identify as a 33-year-old.
But biologically, you're 45?
I am not 45.
44?
Do not insult me. I am not 44. I'm younger than that.
I thought you just said you were 45.
No, I did not say I'm 45. You know how old I am. I'm not 45.
We were just talking about that. It's so offensive.
All right, I'm done. I'm done.
Am I canceled?
We're done. You're canceled.
I'm canceled.
Not 45.
Shit.
But
biologically, you're how old?
33.
What's up? This is Open House with Steph. It's episode 8, right? And I have a very special guest, Noah Ostroff, who's not only a personal friend and a mentor, but a current real estate agent, former owner of Keller Williams Philly, right? And many, many other things, including developer, entrepreneur, but most importantly, a friend. So we're just going to jump into it. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You're always so happy. You're always so happy.
Well, you know, I got to entertain the audience out there. All 12 of them. I know you just got done High Rocks. You just did High Rocks?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. How was it?
It was good. It was good. It was my fourth High Rocks race.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize you've done four.
I did four. Yeah.
Individual?
I did two individual and two doubles ones.
Was yesterday a double?
Yesterday was doubles.
Oh, nice. Did you see Natalie and Jake there?
I did. They crushed it.
They
did great. Everybody's crushing. I see everybody's getting like on the podium. I'm like, I'm just going out and to have fun.
Yeah.
I was thinking before the race yesterday, I was like, how do I go out and just have fun?
Yeah.
When everybody else is trying to win. And I'm like, I just want to go out and have fun. I don't care about winning. I just like, for me, it's the training leading up to it, the challenge of doing it, showing up there on race day and actually just doing it. And I just want to go out and have fun. I don't care about the time or anything like that. I love being in the environment around motivated people.
Yeah.
But how do you do that when everybody else is trying to win?
I don't know. How do you do it?
I just don't compete with anybody else. I compete with myself. It's kind of the theme of life. You know, I'm not playing the same game as everybody else. I'm not trying to do what everybody else is doing. I'm just doing what I want to do. I'm, you know, competing against myself and trying to have fun along the way.
So how long have we known each other?
Oh, man.
I know. I'm thinking about this now.
It has to be...
I've been in real estate for 14 years.
So it has to be
10 or 12 years.
Like that. I think you were still living at your parents' house when I met you. So go by that.
Call me out.
What year was that?
Yesterday. No, I'm kidding.
A podcast is sponsored by basically today. All right.
Cheers. This is so good. Actually, I know the people who are listening to this have no idea what this is, but I'm addicted. It is the GoPuff. Basic GoPuff seltzer. It's so fucking good.
Never had it before, but actually it is quite good. Mm-hmm. I like it.
The bubbles are really, they're perfect.
Yeah.
And the flavor is nice. But nice. Yeah, I lived at home with my parents, I guess in 2012.
Okay.
And I don't know if I really remember the first time meeting you, but.
Was that memorable, huh?
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about you in the newspaper one time and I was like, I don't know who this Noah Ostroff guy is. But I think I remember meeting Jake.
Much more memorable guy.
Love him. No, it's just like, it's been so long that I'm like, huh.
I
don't really know. But I think it was probably the first time was when you came to meet me when we were talking about joining forces at the KW Mainline office.
That's right.
So long
ago. And look where you've come such a long way since then.
So have you.
I know.
It's so crazy.
I know.
But I was going to say is that you have always... instilled in me at least and always kind of like not preached is not the right word, but just exuded this calm, confident, I'm going to do it differently person. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that that is your mindset for fitness, frankly.
Yeah.
So you have been on a fitness journey.
I have.
Tell me more about it. Am I allowed to ask you like how much weight you've lost?
Depends on what we're measuring from. Are we measuring from my highest to my lowest?
Yes.
I think from my highest to my lowest over the last, like, let's just say 2-ish years.
Yeah.
It's probably like over 30 pounds.
That's amazing.
Maybe more. But if you go from like my highest I've ever been to the lowest I've ever been in the last, you know, 5 years, probably more than that.
Choose your adventure. Wow. That's pretty cool.
And it really just started out with like, I needed a change of scenery in my workouts. And then I just started working out. And then once you start working out and being in an environment with other motivated people that are just like, their mindset's great, you like, you love being around them, you're like, you want to push yourself to do more.
For sure.
And then, you know, working out led to working out more, working out 3 days a week turned out to 4 days and 5 days and 6 days. And then working out, you're like, well, I don't want to work out all that. First, it was like, I want to work out a lot so I can eat better, so I can eat whatever I want.
Right.
And then I was like, I want to work out, so then I want to eat better so I don't waste all this working out.
Right.
So then it started working out, then it became eating better. And then it's just like, it's a process, not an event. And I had that mindset of like, I'm not going to get to where I want to get in like a short period of time. For me, it like happens when it happens, and slow, incremental. And I just liked how I felt. You know, when I didn't work out, I felt more stressed out, more irritable. So I just knew a lot of times, like, I was just working out just for my mindset.
Yeah, for sure.
And then like you start to see some results, not on day one, not on month one, not 6 months in. Maybe by 6 months in, I started seeing the results. I'm like, oh, okay, I want to keep doing this. And I think that's like, that's life, right? Like sometimes people want instant gratification. They want instant results. And if they don't see the results in a day or a week or a month, they give up. And, you know, I think if you stick with things long enough and you start to see the results of them, and it's like over time, you know, we talk about, you and I have talked about like the iceberg illusion many times. It's like all this stuff that happens under the surface that you don't see. And, you know, the iceberg is really just like the tip of it is really what you see, where they say the hockey stick effect, where like all the work you've put in all these years and all of a sudden, boom, you have that. And it's like, you know, overnight success is not truly overnight success. It's all the work that people don't see behind the scenes that truly is what makes somebody a quote unquote overnight success.
How do you stay so disciplined, and how do you motivate yourself?
I'm a very regimented person in everything that I do. I don't know why I'm that way. I just am. I guess I like to be in control of things. I guess I don't like chaos. And because I don't like the chaos, I schedule things out. Like being on time is very important to me. Doing what I say I'm going to do, like having a schedule, having a routine, you know, what time I wake up in the morning to what time I go to bed at night. And listen, does that set me back in some things in life? Do I not like get to, you know, stay up till 2 a.m. sometimes when people want to go out and party? Like probably
sometimes. Do you go out and party?
You know that I do. We've been out and party. You know that I do.
That's like that's Noah 2.0.
It's a new thing. But I like it. It's good. But I don't like to stay up too late because I like to wake up early in the morning, because that's like, you know, that's how I have my routine. But I just have a routine for everything. Like I've always treated like my career with everything I do, like to be disciplined and to focus on the things that I know that are like high level things. I don't really get caught up in the weeds too much with things.
Yeah.
Again, good thing and bad thing, right? But I always kind of focus on the high level things that are going to move the ball forward, whether that's growth, whether that's increase in business, like whatever it is. It's just like I focus on the high level things, and I just kind of have a schedule that I follow and a checklist that I follow. And I don't know. That's just the way I've been. That's how I stay disciplined, I guess. And I stay motivated too. Like my mindset, like I listen to motivating things. I try to surround myself with positive, motivating people. I listen to podcasts. I listen to motivational speeches. I try to not listen to too much negative stuff.
I've been the recipient of some of these.
You have been. I randomly text you sometimes or call you and just give you that. Yes.
So you have been a huge influence in my personal life, my business, my career. And the cool thing is, like, it's not reinventing the wheel. Like, you know, having a routine, having a schedule, having a system in place. That also includes, you know, the personal stuff is incredibly important. And at the end of the day, if I haven't exercised, I've eaten well, I haven't slept, I'm really not super fun to be around. And this business does come with a lot of managing stress, managing relationships, work-life balance. One thing that you've done exceptionally well is delegate well. That's how I learned the business, is you delegated to me big time. How do you manage stress, relationships, and delegate?
You know, I wasn't always good at delegating.
Mm. Surprising to me.
Yeah, probably before I met you, but I wasn't always good at that because I wanted to take on everything myself, just like a lot of people want to do, because, you know, I used to have the mindset of like, well, nobody can do it better than me. And if I don't do it the way that I do it, then it's not going to get done right. That was my mindset.
Sure.
Obviously not true, correct, but that's the way I thought about it. I also thought that everybody that called in as like a lead when I were talking about real estate wanted to talk to me. They didn't. They just wanted the answer to the question that they had. They wanted information. They just wanted what I had. So they didn't need to speak with me. They just needed the information.
Sure.
So that was a big mind shift for me. But also as far as I lost my train of thought. What were we
managing relationships, stress.
Yeah, the delegation. So I started to delegate things off, because what you realize is that while hypothetically, let's just say I'm the best at this one thing, but then when you get spread so thin, I'm not giving 100%. I'm giving 50% or 20% because I'm doing all these other things.
Right.
And maybe this other person is not as good at this one thing that I am. Let's just say it's marketing, for example. Let's just say I'm the best at marketing. I'm not, but let's just say I'm the best at marketing when I give 100%.
Right.
When I'm spread so thin, I'm doing so many other things and I'm only able to give 10% of my time, 20% of my time. Another person coming in that's 75% as good as I am, their 75% compared to my 20% that I'm able to give is going to be better than what I have. And that to me was a big eye-opening thing of like starting to delegate, because I can't do all of these things. I can't be all things to all people. I can't do these things, and I can't get to the level in business and life that I want to get to by trying to take on everything myself. And I had to give up some of that control, which, you know, theme of what we're going to talk about today is like, I like to be in control of things.
Me too, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny when you say we can't be all things to all people. This was one of the single greatest lessons you taught me. We were standing outside of a listing together, and I was kind of nervous because it was like one of my first listings, and it was like 1010 South 18th Street. I remember this.
I remember it.
And it was a really great condo. We were meeting the client, and we were talking about a property, not this particular one, but it was about a development we were working on. We were talking about selections and changing things and changing stuff. And you look at me and you go, we can't be all things to all people. We're not a custom, like, we're not building a car. Like, when you go to a dealership, you get a package, you do it this way. And it was like, I don't know if this analogy is going to really land, but it was basically like, we have a process and you can't be all things to all people. And that has really stuck with me.
Well, the analogy that you're referencing was like when you go to buy a car, you don't say, I want what's a car?
A Jeep.
A Jeep. You don't say, I want a Jeep and I want this engine and I want this carburetor and this air filter and this steering wheel and this mirror and these tires and wheels and blah, blah. You don't get to choose everything. They say, here's the Jeep. You have these following selections. You can get it in these four colors, and you can get on the exterior, and you can get it in these four colors on the interior. And maybe there's a couple other things that you can do. And that's it.
That's it.
And that's all you do. And that's, you know, the misconception on houses is like you just go in, you buy it, the builder's going to customize everything. And, you know, the stuff that we were doing back then and even now, it's not a custom home, which is maybe what some people are thinking. It's like, here's the home you're buying. Here's what comes with the home. So it's all the specs. Here's what you get room by room. And here's the two things, five things, 10 things, whatever it is, depending on the project. Here are the things that you get to choose from. And these are the only things that you get to choose from.
And you're organized.
And you're organized with it. And what I've also found over the years, I know we're kind of going all like this, but what I found over the years is related to this is when you give people too many choices, they can't make a decision.
Yeah.
And sometimes fewer choices actually helps people make these decisions a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a new construction spinoff. But tell me, so how did you get into real estate?
How did I get into real estate? Do you want to go to that, or do you want to go back to we didn't finish your question about how do you manage all the relationships and stuff? You tell me which direction you want to go.
Being so popular as Noah Ostroff is, do you manage all of these relationships and not get incredibly stressed out?
Well, when we sat here, as we were preparing for this,
yeah,
I asked you, what are the things that are off limits?
Oh shit.
And you said to me, well, I don't want my clients to know that I get stressed out.
Oh.
And I said, that's the perfect topic to talk about, because people, like everyone, things are not always perfect all the time.
Sure.
And I think the perception that a lot of people try to put out is that everything's perfect all the time, that you're always happy, that you don't get stressed out about things. And the truth is that you do, we do, and you get stressed out. You particularly, I know, because you care so much about your clients.
I do.
That you get stressed out when you can't deliver to them what you want to deliver to them. Because for things that are outside of your control, mostly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to hide the fact that you get stressed out about that. Because you get stressed out about that because of how much you care about your clients. Things are not always perfect.
They're not always perfect. And I really do my best. And we are all human.
Yeah.
I think I think that the conversation around our industry paints us very differently than what it is in reality, which sometimes can show up and weigh on me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I've had my fair share of really hard and disappointing conversations with people. There's
a lot of ups and downs in this business.
For sure.
And mostly for somebody that works hard like you, things that are outside of your control.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's the market, whether it's the inventory, whether it's the interest rates, whether it's the dealing with the other side of the deal, multiple offers. There's so many things that are outside of our control. And you have to manage the relationships because if you don't control your time, somebody else, if you don't know what your priorities are, somebody else is going to make you their priority.
100%.
Meaning they're
going to
take your time and demand your time for what is their priority, which may not be the same as you.
Right.
And that in and of itself is stressful because you have all these people wanting information and especially if you're a busy agent like you are, and they want all that stuff. And, you know, it's one of the most challenging things about this industry. It's certainly one of my most challenging things. Like people say, like, what do you struggle with the most? And for me, it's managing all my relationships because you have your starting, this is, I guess, in order. You have your family.
Right.
You have your significant other.
Yep.
Which is different relationship, right? The time you spend with your family, the time you spend with your significant other, like different time that each
different
need.
Yeah, different needs.
You have your parents.
Yeah.
You have your siblings. Mm-hmm. You have your extended family, right? Those are your main priorities. Everybody needs that time. You have yourself, right? You need some time to yourself to do things you want to do yourself. You have your friends. And then you have your work colleagues, maybe your partners in work. You have your clients, all different types of clients, especially if you work with a lot of them, and everybody wants some piece of your time. And inevitably, if you prioritize the things that are most important to you, which you should, whatever yours is, I'll just say mine's family. And I know yours is too, whoever's listening, whatever your priorities are, like you have to prioritize those things, which means that somebody else is going to not get as much of your time as they want.
Yeah.
And then inevitably they're going to be upset, and you caring as much as you do and me caring as much as I do, we're going to feel guilty about the fact that they're upset about they're not getting as much time. That's going to stress you out. It stresses me out.
Yeah.
So that's a challenging thing, is trying to give everybody the time that they want, also have time for yourself.
One thing that helps me too, and I talked about this with Sky Michaels, I interviewed him, is just kind of reminding myself and also the people in my world that, like, it's not balance. Like, there are seasons. Like, we all have a season. Mm-hmm. This is busy season.
Yeah.
So I might be a little less available. Right now I feel like a really shitty friend because I've basically said no to so many things, and it sucks. And I'm like, please still invite me, because I might say yes, but I can't go. I, like, really just can't do a lot of things on the weekends.
Well, you can. You just have to say no to some things. And I was always okay with, like, I would say no to things because.
Like what?
Like. Early on in my career, let's say after my first year in the business, because first year I was building the business up as a real estate agent. By the second year, I worked a normal schedule, Monday to Friday. Back then I was starting a little bit earlier, but like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So you didn't show any houses in the evening?
I pretty much did not show any houses in the evening most nights. So my schedule most days was like 8 to 6, 8 to 5, somewhere in that general range, like a normal call 9 to 5 job, a little before, a little bit after. And I didn't work weekends. That was my mindset, is I'm not working weekends, I'm not working nights. Because back when I started, I had little kids at home and I wanted to be home for dinner every night. And I wanted to spend time with my kids on the weekends. So I purposely set my schedule like that. And in order to do that, I knew that you had to be more of a listing agent than a buyer's agent, because right. listing agent, you can control your time a lot better than if you are a buyer's agent. But I still had people that said, hey, can you come meet me for a listing appointment at night or on the weekends? And my response generally was, I'm not available at that time. Here are the times that I am available. And sometimes they would switch to a time that I was available, and sometimes they wouldn't. And I'd have to make the decision of, how badly do I want this business? Do I go on the nights or the weekends, or do I just say no to the business? And that was a decision that I had to make every time. And sometimes when I was put in that position, I would make the decision to work that night or that weekend for a brief period of time. And sometimes if I had something that was more important than that, I would maybe lose out on the business. And I was okay with that. And because if you have enough business, losing a little bit of it is okay. So, you know, the goal is just to get more leads so you can turn down business when you want to. You have a harder time of doing that than I did.
Because I feel like everybody deserves to have me as their agent because I'm the best.
Yep. And you are.
Yeah.
And that's probably
true.
And
I'm like so protective. And I'm like, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to really help these people. But I could take a page out of your book and be like, you know, they don't like, I think I'm humbly speaking, very, very good at what I do and really try to help in the best way possible, including like, if I don't think I'm the right fit, I'm going to tell somebody. And that's hard. That is a challenge.
But something can be true and also untrue. Like what you said is definitely true, could be true. Like maybe you are the best agent. Maybe they do deserve to have you. You're right with all that stuff. But also, what are you sacrificing by doing that? And
yeah.
You and I have talked many times about this, about like you sacrificing personal time because of how much you care about your clients and how you want to work with everybody. And that's admirable. But also at the same time, I see what it does to you sometimes and how you don't get to do some of the personal things that you want to do.
I didn't know this was going to be a roast.
Not a roast. It's, you know, we're just...
I'm a little self-conscious. I don't know if I can release this.
Well, the cameras are here now, so you can't avoid the question. So
you
didn't tell me there was anything that was off limits.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to answer, but it's just.
No, you're right, though.
It's a general comment. You don't have to respond to it, but it's not just you, by the way. It's a lot of people are that same way.
I was going to say, the reason why I want to talk about it, that you shed some light on, is like, I think a lot of us now, like, so I'm 37 years old. I don't have kids. I'm, you know, in a new relationship.
Wait, you're 37. You're older than me?
You're hilarious.
I
know. I look so good, right?
You do look good.
Thank you.
I identify as a 33-year-old.
But biologically, you're 45?
I am not 45.
44?
Do not insult me. I am not 44. I'm younger than that.
I thought you just said you were 45.
No, I did not say I'm 45. You know how old I am. I'm not 45.
We were just talking
about
that.
So offensive. All right, I'm done.
Am I canceled?
We're done. You're canceled.
I'm canceled.
Not 45.
Shit.
But
biologically, you're how old?
33.
Identify as a 33-year-old. Oh my God, that's going to be a
short.
That's
why I hang out with younger people, so it keeps me young.
No, this is all good. And I think like in today's day and age, like, I don't know about you, but like I do feel, and maybe it's just the phase of life that I'm in and a lot of my friends and my general sphere is in, but everybody's so damn busy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have a lot of pressure and a lot of stress going on. And I think like stress is just such a big part of people's lives now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not a stress-free person, but I would say I've learned like there's just things that are worth my time to stress about, and there are things that aren't.
Yeah.
And it always usually has to do with work or, you know, making sure that I can show up for my people the way they expect me to, the way that I want to. That's the college athlete in me, and also just how I was raised, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of college athletes, both of us went to Penn State.
We did go to Penn State.
My daughter's going to Penn State next year.
That's so fun.
That's very exciting.
I'm supposed to go back for alumni weekend this weekend.
That is exciting, yeah.
Yeah, Penn State women's lacrosse. Let's go.
Keep it going.
Yeah. What are you excited about for the future? You can talk about professionally, personally. I mean, you're such an influence and a force in this like city of Philadelphia as a pertains to real estate. How many units are you guys working on right now developing?
We have a lot of stuff going on right now.
So is that tying into what's exciting for you in the future?
Well, I was going to say I'm looking forward to the summer.
Oh, yeah.
You see, there you go again with your mind going to work.
Man, always work. Me and work.
I'm looking forward to the summer. I mean, look, we're wearing t-shirts now. The weather is so nice. Everybody's so motivated and excited when the weather is nice. I love it. So I'm looking forward to the nice weather. I'm looking forward to the summer. I'm looking forward to getting a lot of the things off of my plate that I've been dealing with like over the last year, like, you know, personally and work-wise, but like as far as work goes, the banking industry has been very difficult lately, and I've had a lot of projects on the development side of things. I've had a lot of projects that I completed that I need to refinance out of my construction loan to get into permanent loans, because you know, I know you understand this, but whoever's listening, like the way this stuff works is you get, when you buy a project, like I buy a piece of land, you get an acquisition loan, you get a construction loan, you build what you're building. So for me, most of the time it's mixed use and multifamily, although now I'm doing a bunch of for sale stuff too, but mixed use and multifamily buildings.
To hold,
to keep my rental portfolio. And then once the buildings are stabilized, meaning fully rented out, you then refinance with a bank for permanent loans. Construction loans might be 9, 10, 11%.
Right.
Now they're high.
What's the term?
Depending on how big the project is, could be 12 months, could be 24 months, right? It depends on how long it's going to take to build. But typically, however long it takes to build, the bigger the building, the longer the project. But it's usually no more than 2 years, sometimes less than that. And then after the construction's done and your building's stabilized and rented out, you refinance into a permanent loan.
Right.
And the permanent loan, instead of it being 9% on construction, it might be right now 6%, maybe a little bit below 6% right now.
All right, that's not bad.
So it's a big difference of what it is. And those loans are typically 5 years or 7 years or 10 years. That's how those loans work. So it's been very difficult to refinance out of these loans because in order to do that, and we're going to get so technical here.
Okay.
I'll try not to bore people and put them to sleep.
No, I think it'll be good.
Okay, in order to do that, you have to have a couple things have to be required by the bank. So you have to have it changes, but like right now, I think it's like a 1.25 debt coverage ratio, meaning your rents have to be essentially 25% more than the debt, than the mortgage, right? So, and even if you have a really good property, that's a like a good cash flowing property, because of how high the interest rate is, the debt is higher because the interest rate's higher. So the cash flow may not be 1.25%. Something it used to be 1.25 times. Sometimes it was 1.3 times. And it's hard to make the deals work. So the banks are not refinancing out of that type of stuff. Another requirement that a lot of banks had because they needed liquidity, because a lot of these banks were going under, was they wanted you to have 10% cash in the bank at all times.
Mm.
Well, when you're doing a lot of projects, most developers don't just leave a lot of cash in the bank. If you have cash in the bank,
that's the whole point of getting financing.
That's dead money, right?
Yeah.
And it's dead money that you're not really making much money on. So that money, we don't want to just leave it sitting there. But they want that for liquidity requirements. But when you're doing a lot of projects, you don't have like all that extra money just to leave 10% here and 10% there, especially when these are big projects.
Right.
Some of these projects I'm doing, the construction loans are, you know, $11, $12 million, and I'm not leaving 10% of that sitting in the bank. And so that makes it difficult because the banks won't give you loans if you're doing that. So like a lot of that, I had a lot of that going on where I had a lot of construction projects the last couple of years that I need to refinance out of. I also have a lot of new stuff that I, am working on, that I'm building, that I'm starting, that I started, that I needed to get construction loans for as well. So just trying to balance all that stuff out, and it's a lot of work, and it wasn't as easy as it.
So it's off your plate.
And it's stressful. It's stressful doing that. So a lot of that stuff is getting off my plate. A lot of these projects have come to completion. I now have sold some of this stuff that I was building. I now have refinanced out of some of this stuff. So I have some cool projects going on right now that I'm involved in that are pretty cool. So I'm excited about those things.
Nice.
Yeah. What are you excited about?
You know, I'm just like, I'm so excited also for the summer.
Yeah.
I'll be spending some time at the shore.
Oh, yeah, cool. I want to hear more about that later.
I'll tell you all about it. And, I mean, I'm just, like, genuinely excited for for my business and, you know, just the trajectory of the industry, I think. I think 2025 is going to be a really fun year. It has been. There's been a lot going on.
Why do you think that? Why do you think it's going to be a really fun year?
I think right now I see a couple of things happening. So we've already seen more inventory come to the market than we've seen in a long time. And there's nothing harder to me. There's nothing like less fun in this industry when you're working with buyers and sellers that can't have success. And I am seeing rates drop slightly, not enough for it to be this crazy implosion of activity, but I'm starting to see homes hit the market in spaces that we really need them. So like in certain price ranges, definitely in the suburbs on the main line, and some good stuff coming up in the city, reasonably good stuff. And it makes me excited for the future of buyers and sellers, really. And it's fun for us. I think it's very interesting to see kind of some of the M&A going on in our industry.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the real estate industry is being shooken up. And it's kind of time, you know, it's a very antiquated business with technology has shifted. We could have like a whole podcast on this. But that's what I see. And I feel very fortunate. I'm working with some just like awesome people and they're fun to be around, and very fortunate that I can call a lot of my former clients, now friends.
Yep, you're good at that.
Well, it's fun. This is a relationship-based business, you know?
Where do you see the opportunity in the market? So whether it's a great market, whether it's a bad market, there's always opportunity, right? And there's only so much that you can control. You can't control interest rates. You can't control inventory. There's a lot of things that you can't control.
Well, I argue you can control inventory to an extent.
Okay.
But I think there's opportunity everywhere. And I think if anybody is sitting on the fence right now about buying a house, there's just major opportunity. Get in the game now. Because every day that you wait, like all my clients who didn't have success last year that wanted to put on the brakes, they lost equity. They lost like 15% equity. And I'm not telling anybody to go make a bad financial decision. Like if you have enough cash in the bank now to comfortably put down a down payment and not want to puke when you see that monthly payment, do it. Because we are in a housing crisis, and I don't see the inventory changing all that much for people to have success waiting another year or two. So I think there's opportunity right now to be in some of the best school districts, to be in some of the most dynamic parts of the city. Philadelphia is incredibly affordable, and it's home to some of the best medical care here. Not to mention our culture, our arts, our sports, go birds. And today's the home opener of the Phillies, yeah, so we're switching our colors.
I chose this podcast versus going to the Phillies home opener.
Shut up.
80 degrees outside.
You're such a liar.
I decided this was more important. This was priority.
Uh-huh.
Got to know what your priorities are.
You know what? I feel honored.
Yes.
And I'll take you to the Phillies game.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You guys heard that, right?
There's opportunity everywhere, and it doesn't just necessarily mean in real estate too. I think it's a great time to be an entrepreneur. I think it's a great time to, you know, I had a lender on, Andrew Eckstedt, mm-hmm. and he was like, I think in 10 years they were predicting like over 50% of people that are going to be seeking a mortgage are going to be entrepreneurs, and they're going to be 1099. And I'm like, what a great time to be alive. what do you think?
I agree.
I mean, I delivered it with such enthusiasm, you know.
You did.
No, but what do you think of the market?
You know, I was just, as I hear you talking, I was thinking about, you're talking about opportunities and, you know, building equity. I think about some of the times that I didn't buy real estate that it's worth so much right now. And I times that I over-negotiated on something because I didn't want to pay $10,000 more for a property. And now those properties are gold, and I just remember them, and I just have regrets. And now when I go into these deals on the development side of things, investment side of things, I don't hold out for like small amounts of money. A small amount is a relative term. So a small amount could be 5,000, could be 10,000, could be 100,000, could be
right.
A small amount on a deal, depending on the size of it.
Right.
But if you're thinking long term, and that's something that like I do, is I'm a long term thinker.
Totally.
So everything I do is for the future. Not everything, but like the investment wise, everything I do is for the future. So even if you get some years that are like marginal years, you know, in the future things could be better. And we talk a lot about this too, about, you know, just trying, not trying to have just a great year in real estate, but having a great career in real estate.
Yeah,
you're going to have some great years and some good years and some bad years, right? We had some amazing years a few years ago and some bad years the last couple of years. And then somewhere in between every once in a while too. And so yeah, there's just like, I think there's opportunity everywhere. I try to always look for opportunity. In a good market, there's opportunity. In a bad market, there's opportunity. And,
you know, and speaking of opportunity, I think my conversation was directed more to like the buyer mindset, because that's, I feel like the conversation just in the media and overarching has been like, what a hard time it is to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And sellers are kind of in this, they have this golden ticket. But a lot of them, you know, it's an opportunity for them too. We're in a kind of a volatile state of the world. We can't predict what's going to happen with so many things. But there are people that truly need to leave their homes or have a goal of relocating and being close to people. And there's opportunity there too. When inventory is unlocked, like I've been seeing it happen, that gives way to people who are like, well, I can't sell my house until the next house pops up. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more of that. And I also am pretty bullish on parts of the city, some investments and some development, and they're not making more land.
What part of the city are you bullish on?
Should I give everybody my secret? Grays Ferry.
Okay.
It's one of the last walkable places to Center City. Mm-hmm. It's walkable to the hospitals, and they're building a new CHOP hospital, like, right there.
Yeah.
And there's great opportunity there. I mean, it takes time.
Yeah.
I get a cold call on my piece of land that I own there, you know, like once a quarter.
That's right.
It's always a fun game. I know. I asked you about this, I was like, should I buy this? And you're like, I wouldn't. And I was like, okay. And then I bought it.
Great. So you do.
You're like, it sounds like a bad use of your money. I was like, it's probably right, but, you know, it's fun.
I want to switch topics for
a second.
Again, when we were preparing for this, I asked you what topics are off limits. And one of the things you said is, let's not talk about how we're competitors.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I think we should talk about that because I have a different mindset on that. I don't believe we are competitors.
I don't know if I said it quite like that.
Not quite like that.
I laughed. I was like, well, we are competitors.
Right. And I think it's a good topic
to talk about
because I do believe that a lot of people in this industry believe that
we,
the general sense of realtor, are.
And what brokerage are you with?
I'm with a different brokerage than you are. Right?
What name is your brokerage?
Keller Williams.
And I'm with Compass.
Correct. Yeah. We're at different brokerages. And I don't look at you as a competitor.
Me either.
I never looked at you as a competitor. I don't look at anybody in this industry as a competitor. Not because I think I'm better than them. Not at all. There's plenty of people that are way better than me. But I don't look at people as competitors because I look at you as a colleague.
We're all colleagues.
You have the listing, I have the buyer. We're doing a deal together.
Absolutely.
Or I have the listing, you have the buyer. We need to work together to put transactions together, right?
Of course.
So I don't look at you as a competitor. How many times have you and I, don't answer this, but how many times have you and I, it's a rhetorical question, that's why.
I got it.
How many times have you and I competed on a listing together? I think zero times. I think the majority of people-
Because they just hired me.
They've just hired you, exactly, exactly. But the reality is like they're hiring the first person they talk to, right?
Maybe.
And it's very rare that more times than not, I'm not competing with other people for a listing.
Well, you know, I think you bring up just a good point about this industry. I think the media, I think consumers, I think everybody's really confused the situation. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, people need to buy a house, people need to sell a house, and we're facilitators to that transaction. And it doesn't matter what color your brokerage is or what name your brokerage is, we're all trying to work together.
Yes, agreed. And how much better is it to work on a deal when both agents are like a friendly transaction, you trust the other person, 1,000 times better than if you're working with somebody who is treating you like a competitor that's like adversarial.
Yeah. Or ego-driven.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to get deals done.
It doesn't serve anybody.
That's not the way to get deals done.
In fact, it's actually probably, I could argue, it's a breach of fiduciary responsibility. And we have fiduciary responsibility to our clients to facilitate transaction.
Right. So after this conversation, do you still think that I'm a competitor to you?
I never thought you were a competitor. You're such a smart ass.
Good. Well, I just wanted to go to all the places that you said you didn't want to go to. What other things do you say were off?
Well, yeah. Pass. Thank you for the question. No, thanks. I'm a pretty vanilla. Well, no, that's not. I'm like a rainbow. But I was going to say, I don't really, there's, it's pretty straightforward. I like to work out. I like to work. I really get a lot of satisfaction out of the business. Mm-hmm. I've been missing a little bit of working out. I had, you know, I think I did a podcast on this while I was sick about how sick I was this year. It was the worst.
Why do you feel you're sick so much? Do you think it has to do with stress?
I think my 15-month-old nephew, or however old he was at the time, gave me everything.
Oh, yeah. You did.
I was like, dude, but you're so cute, and I would do it again.
Yeah. That happened. A lot of people got sick this year.
I know. I think it was just a bad year. Yeah, I don't know. It was probably, it could have been stress. Could have been a little bit of that partying for the Eagles. Whoops. I think everyone had the Eagles flu, the Eagles parade flu.
Yes.
I got that. I got it. Worth it. What is the best advice somebody has given you? You can say pass.
I wish I don't want to just give you a generic answer to this. I want to really think about this.
Okay, that's
maybe
fine.
The next time I come back, I can prepare in advance, because I've gotten so much great advice over the years.
Okay.
So I don't know that I can just pick one, but something that I sort of live by is, imperfect action beats a perfect plan every time.
Hell yeah. And that's a good one.
And what I mean by that is just like, do it even if it's not perfect. And just taking action is going to beat somebody else that's trying to come up with that perfect plan all the time.
Yeah.
And that's how I sort of just operate my life and move around the world and just take action. And I'm the guy that like builds the plane as we're flying, as
yes,
they say.
Yes, I'm well aware.
As they say. I'm not the one that prepares all the stuff and then goes.
Well, you are pretty process driven.
I am process driven, but a lot of my, I guess, past experience helps me make decisions that may seem impulsive to other people, but they're not actually impulsive. It's just from like the knowledge and the experience that I've had over the years with all the various things that I've done that allow me to make these decisions that do seem impulsive. But I move quickly with things. I do.
So what are your predictions for the market? What do you think about 2025?
It depends on what direction we want to go in with this question, but
answer it however you would like.
Yeah, I think so the question was, what are my predictions for 2025, right?
Yeah.
I think the Eagles will win another Super Bowl.
You jinxed us!
I think the Phillies are going to make a deep run. I think Duke is going to win the March Madness tournament. These are all my predictions.
All right, you know, Noah Ostroff doesn't want to be caught on camera giving predictions. Got it, everyone.
No, I'll give predictions. Listen, I don't. What people say, what is your prediction on the market? The reality is, what's the difference? And I don't mean this as offensive to you, but like, what's the difference? What the market's going to do. If you're a buyer listening to this, who cares about all the things in the market that are going to happen? What matters is like, do you have a need to buy a house? Do you have a reason why you need to buy a house? Whether you're getting married, you want a bigger house, you want a smaller house, you need to be closer to schools or work or different city. You have a need, right? You have a need that you have, and then you should fill that need. The home is the most important place for you. That is your place where you're going to create memories. That is the place that you're going to have experiences. That's the place that you're going to have your friends and families and dinners and all these cool things that you're going to do. So don't worry about what's going to happen in the market, because you can never time the market. You're going to maybe get a little bit better, a little bit worse interest rate. Who cares about that? And I just think like, for buyers, they should be making the decisions that is what's best for them, that what they should be doing. And same thing with the sellers. It's like really the same thing. Do you have a need to sell? Can you get something else that you want?
Right.
Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe the answer is no. And I think that you need to make these decisions based upon what your specific needs are, not necessarily what's going to happen in the market.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are just like trying to figure out what, like, these predictions, but really who cares? Like,
yeah,
the political climate, who cares? The you know, everyone's like always worried about what all these other external factors are going to do. But the reality is like, you can control the decisions that you make that affect you.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. And I echo that same thing. At the end of the day, if you have a need, people can get so wrapped up in analyzing to the point where they have just created such a detriment, you know, for themselves, that they're now missing that first year in the school system they want to be in, which like isn't the goal.
Yeah.
Or their, you know, quality time with family, or everything that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Waiting is, you know, waiting costs you money in some cases, but more than anything, it's quality of life.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
not every decision is a financial decision. A lot of times, and I know we've talked about this before, and I say this to people all the time, you know, sometimes doing what's in our client's best interest is not always getting them the best price.
Right.
While we try to,
sure,
that's not what's always in their best interest. Sometimes what's in their best interest is getting them the house they want.
Right.
Or getting them out of the house that they need to sell.
Absolutely.
It's not always about every last penny, every dollar.
Yeah.
What do you like to do for fun?
Honestly, I think one of the most fun things I do is hanging out with my nephew.
Oh.
He's so cute.
That is cute.
I wish I could get a visual. No, he's just so funny, and he like knows who I am, and he like finds his fake phone and he's like, "Def." I love that. It's so cute. And running, working out with friends is my favorite thing of all time.
So you love running, but you haven't been running lately.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh. So I've really been trying to create, like, prioritizing. We can't be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of started this year off feeling, not burnout, but just feeling like a little, like I knew that the year was going to start off fast and furious. And we had some snow, didn't want to get injured. We're now well past that. I was getting over some illnesses. And now recently it's just been about prioritizing time. And I've opted to just rest a little bit more. And I think that's okay. For, as somebody who's like highly active, I'm not going to be thrown off the rails and not ever run again if I choose to like sleep a little bit more. And I'm a go, go, go person. And I think in this like hustle culture, I should be like screaming from the rooftops like, yeah, I have missed working out to just sleep a little more. And I'm a better, healthier, happier person because of that.
Good.
I do miss it, and I'm like ready to get back to it. I'm ready.
Let's do it.
I also like ran my 10th marathon in November. So
that's crazy.
I know. So it's not like I haven't been working out.
I think you have last year, there were periods of time that you ran more in the course of a month than I drove.
Well, you don't drive a lot.
You're right. And you run a lot. And I just remember comparing you. Like, I ran 200 miles this month. And I'm like, I drove 40 miles.
I ran a little over 1,000 miles in a year.
That's crazy to me.
It's a lot of running.
That's crazy
and
to me.
And, you know, to your point about, like, life and stuff and prioritizing and, you know, getting in shape and, like, buying the house. Like, all these things come back to, like, what feels good? What makes you feel happy? Like, you know, sometimes sleeping in or instead of running my like normal 7 miles, which I came up with this distance because it was like enough that I can do in an hour. And I always feel like just the right amount of tired because I have a lot of energy to like be a well-behaved real estate agent all day long for all of my clients.
Yeah, you need that.
Honestly. And, you know, it's everyone's got a season.
So do you feel like because you haven't been running and working out at that same level that your stress levels are higher, that you're not able to control? Like, are you showing up to your clients the way you just described?
I always show up to my clients 100%.
You do on the surface, but the difference is like underneath when you're working out, like what's happening inside your body underneath is the same thing that's coming out. Maybe now you're hiding it well. But my question is, are you feeling differently now that you're not working out?
I think I'm ready to get back out there full steam.
Okay.
Hopefully my legs are too. But no, I mean, I think I'm always a better version of myself when I've exercised.
Yeah.
And I've been lifting with Natalie 2 days a week, and I just kind of started ramping up running again a little bit.
Maybe you'll do a Hyrox race.
You know, I would love to.
I actually think you should.
I would love to.
I love it.
It's really fun.
Actually, the runners are the ones that do the best during those races.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Am I putting you to sleep?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, boy.
I need more
coffee.
Let's
not edit that out. Let's keep that in. Let's keep that in. I love it.
Noah Ostroff, snooze fest.
Snooze fest. Man. There's one thing to put the people at home to sleep, but to put the interviewer to sleep.
Should I do a fake snore into the... That was him, not me. Our official sponsors will like this. They'll be like, maybe we'll make a caffeinated seltzer for you guys, for you losers that are falling asleep on your own podcast.
It's pretty good.
I know. It's so good.
All right. So what I heard you say, just to recap.
Yeah.
You're going to do a Hyrox race in the next 12 months.
Uh, OK. Okay, sure.
And
I could do that.
You're gonna train for it.
Nice.
Your trainer does them. So yep. Your trainer can train you for it.
Here we go, Nat.
And this is a Nat, you're hearing as you're listening to this. This is something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to.
You know what? Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about goals.
Goals.
Okay. So I think this is a good topic because every year people talk about what are your goals for the year. And we're not in the beginning of the year anymore, but like in the beginning of every year or the end of every year, we talk about what are the goals for next year. So like November, December, we say, what are you going to be your goals for next year? And I talk to a lot of people about this.
I'm sure you do.
I teach business planning. I teach goal setting, all this stuff. And instantly, the majority of the people that I speak to, their mind, first, it goes straight to business.
Money.
Here's my goal, money. Here's my goals for the year for my business.
Yeah.
I think when people put goals together, when I put goals together, they're broken down in three categories: health, wealth, and happiness.
Hell yeah.
Okay, they're the three categories. So I have goals for each one of those categories. Health, what are my health goals for the year? So in the past, it was getting weight below a certain amount. It was working out a certain number of times per week. In the past, it may have been doing a certain number of push-ups in a month or sit-ups in a month, like things like that, right? And then it's evolved over the years, but there's always some type of a health goal. It's important. And part of the health goal is sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? Sleeping is important. You can talk about that. That's a really important thing that people neglect. Part of the health goal is drinking a certain amount of water every day.
For sure. Like,
all the different things, mindset things, right? And then there's the wealth part of it. What do I want to do to increase the wealth, my investing, you know, the things I like to do with business? What do I want my businesses to look like? And putting goals together for all those, which ultimately translates to the wealth, right? So we have the health, we have the wealth, and we have the happiness. And the happiness is like, how many trips do I want to go on every year? Because that's what makes me happy. How many live music shows do I want to see? Because like live music. Like I have a list that I keep. I keep lots of lists, but two of the lists that I keep are things that make me happy and things that give me energy. And when I am feeling like I'm in a rut, I go to my list of things that make me happy and I try to do those things. Because if we have small negative things every day, those build up to big negative things.
Yeah.
If we have small wins every day or small positive things, those build up to the compound over time. So for me, like you can do this too. And we may have done this together as an exercise, or maybe we haven't, but I say to you, put together a list of all the things that like make you happy. And maybe now, like off the top of your head, you can come up with 10 things, 20 things, whatever. But then as you go about your life, you're like, oh, like I feel so good right now. I feel so happy. I'm going to add this to the list. So like my list is things like kayaking, being on the water, listening to live music, getting a massage, like little things, you know, like
that one,
like going to this restaurant, you know, things that like you do and you're like, man, this, like, I like this. I want to put that on the list. Because now when I'm feeling like I'm feeling a certain way and I'm stressed or I'm in a rut or whatever, which it happens throughout the year to everybody, you go to the list and you get these small wins. Maybe it's listening to some music. Maybe it's traveling to this place. And maybe it's going kayaking or doing something on the water that makes you happy.
Just getting yourself out of the cycle.
Getting yourself out of the cycle and doing those things, because now you do enough of those things and then you get happy again. The same list for things that give me energy. You know, sometimes we just have times where we just have low energy. And so like, how do you get out of that? And you go to the list and here's all the things that give me energy. And doing podcasts gives me energy. Teaching gives me energy. Talking to people, socializing gives me energy. Caffeine gives me energy. Like there's just like so many things. So you go back to these lists of all these things. And then now you have a list. So back to the goal. So we have the health, we have the wealth, and we have the happiness. So the happiness is, you know, those things on the list, doing more of those things. It's going on more trips. It's spending more time with these people and those people. And I have goals for each thing. So like if you don't prioritize those things, if you don't write those things down, then things get out of balance. You spend too much time focusing on work. You don't spend enough time, you know, focusing on all these other things. And I think people don't know how to have that balance. They don't know how to work really hard and still have a good fitness routine and still, you know, have fun and all those things. And like, you have to be able to balance all those things. Not easy, but right. you have to try to figure out what works best for you to be able to do all of those things.
It's a really good reminder.
Yeah.
It's a really good reminder.
It's a good reminder.
We'll follow up on that.
We will. I'll show you my list.
Thank you for being here.
That's it.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think there's just other things that I have to come back on the show and talk about the things that you've taught me. I mean, that's got to be 5 episodes worth right there.
Hell yeah.
Right? We have to talk about the best lessons that I was, the best advice that I was given.
Totally. Yeah.
I can certainly go over that. And, you know, whatever you think might be valuable.
Some of your biggest lessons.
Biggest lessons,
your biggest mistakes.
Yeah. Some of my partnerships that I have.
Your biggest successes. I have.
Totally. There's so many of those things that we can talk about.
Cool.
And I think a lot of people probably stopped listening after like 4 minutes.
Probably.
But the people that are still here, thank you. Thank you for sticking with us for so long. If you're looking for the best real estate agent in the city, Steph Ellis is your girl.
Okay. Thanks,
man. She cares a lot about her clients.
Appreciate it.
And that's the most important thing.
Well, thank you. All right, cool.
Thanks for your friendship.
Thank you for your friendship.
I feel like we've become better friends over the years, and I like that.
I think we have. I mean, things, our relationship has, like, really changed.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm very appreciative of it.
I am, too.
All right. That's a wrap.
Young John!